Colossians chapter 4:12, we're trying to understand a very important phrase, what it is to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, which was Epaphras' prayer for the Colossians and should be our prayer for ourselves. We're saying there are three main things involved in it. The first one is that we have to know the will of God. And the second is that we need to do or obey the will of God. And of course, His will is revealed in His Word. And as we were ending last week, we were saying how only God can enable us to do His will. That's why Paul said, it's God who works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And we also said that we're to pray to know God's will and to do God's will, and yet we can't even pray aright for the will of God without the help of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Spirit who maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's the one who enables us to pray in accordance with God's will and then to walk in His will. And so, again, when God gives us new hearts and His Spirit within, then we can and will obey Him. And we were looking at that in Ezekiel 36. Let's go back there, because I'm going to expand on that where we left off last time. Ezekiel 36. The first thing is forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of Christ. As revealed to us in His Word, God's Word is often likened to clean water. And in verse 25 of Ezekiel 36, God says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean." Right? So until God cleanses us with this water of His Word, we cannot be clean. And then He says, "From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you." So it's a perfect and complete cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then He also renews and renovates our nature. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." And that's that broken heart and broken and contrite spirit, which makes up the sacrifices of God, and a repentant spirit. A heart broken for sin and turning to God for pardon of sin and deliverance from sin. And He says, "And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, a cold, hard, dead, insensitive heart toward God, and I will give you an heart of flesh, a tender, soft, living, responsive heart toward God." And what will be the result of this? "And I'll put my Spirit within you," the Holy Spirit, "and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." When God has done this work of grace in us, the result will be keeping His judgments and doing them, walking in His statutes in obedience to His laws, doing His will. Now, how does this all come about? I need the Holy Spirit to obey God's will. I need the Holy Spirit to pray for God's will. And notice in John chapter 9, when Jesus had healed the man who had been born blind, and of course, he was being grilled by the Pharisees. And he's answering their questions. And they said that, you know, "We don't know if Jesus is of God." And he's saying, "How can you not know if He's of God? He just gave sight to a man born blind. No one ever has done that before. You know, if He were not of God, He could do nothing. Notice how he argues in verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. God heareth not sinners. Why? Because our sin separates between us and God, and it makes our prayers unacceptable to Him. It says, the prayer of a wicked man is an abomination to God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. Now we're all sinners. All have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. So how do I become a worshiper of God who does, and that word's in the present, who practices His will, and who can be heard of God? Well, we've already seen that we need the Holy Spirit to pray aright and to be able to obey God. Well, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? That's the next question we would like to try to answer. Acts chapter 5. Peter's preaching. Along with the other apostles, because they're being accused by the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of Israel, and are on trial before them. And in verse 29, they say this, Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Right? When God and man disagree, we have to go with God, regardless of the consequences. Then he preaches the gospel to them. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew or killed and hanged on a tree. You crucified him. But him hath God exalted with his right hand. God raised him from the dead and received him up into heaven, where he is seated on the right hand of God. To be a prince," that's his authority, "and a savior," that's his work. He's a prince and a savior. "For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." So this shows his power as a prince and his work as a savior. He grants or gives the grace of repentance to his people so that they would turn to God and have their sins forgiven. And we are his witnesses of these things, of what he had done. "And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." God has given the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. Now, does that mean the Holy Spirit is a reward for my obedience? If I obey God, I earn the Holy Spirit and He gives me the Holy Spirit? No, those who obey God have received the Holy Spirit, because it's only by the Holy Spirit that they can obey God. Now, the next question is, what do I mean by obey God? There are a lot of people who think, you know, if I keep the Ten Commandments, or if I follow the Sermon on the Mount, or if I obey the Golden Rule, if I live a religious life, I'll be a good person and God will bless me. Is that what he's saying? He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him by obeying his laws? Well, then we're in big trouble, aren't we? Because there's none that doeth good. There's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody obeys God's law. We are transgressors of his laws. That's what the very word sinner means. Violators, breakers of his law. So how can I receive the Holy Ghost by obeying him? What does it mean to obey him? And how do I come to obey him and receive the Holy Ghost? Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. At the end of the chapter, it talks about having a clear conscience before God. It talks about receiving answers to our prayers. How? Verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Sounds like what the man that was healed said. If any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. So, we receive our answers to prayer because we are keeping his commandments, doing things pleasing in his sight. Does that mean that earns the answer to our prayers? Well, what are his commandments, first of all? And this is his commandment. He summarizes it and he brings it down to one, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. And love one another as he gave his commandment. There's his commandment. Believe on his Son and then love one another as believers. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Right? Those who cherish and hold fast and live in obedience to his commandments dwell in God and God in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. How? By the Spirit which he hath given us. God has given me his Spirit, and that's how I know that he abides in me, and that's how I can pray aright. Remember, we can't pray aright without his Spirit. That's how I can do his will, keep his commands. He says he would put his Spirit within me, and then I would walk in his statutes and keep his judgments and do them. And now, as a child of God, I am living in obedience to God. He's hearing my prayers through Christ, and he has, by this, shown that I have received the Spirit of adoption into my heart, whereby I cry, Abba, Father, as his child. See, this is where people are very confused. The Galatians were very confused. In Galatians chapter 3, they had fallen prey to false doctrine. They thought they had to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised to be saved. And Paul is chastening them very sternly for this. And he calls them up short in chapter 3. And he says this in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? It's like someone cast a spell on you and just dazzled your eyes so you can't see straight. And that's what false teachers do. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You're not obeying the truth right now. You've departed from it. You're falling after error. Why? He says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath benevolently set forth, crucified among you. I preached one thing to you, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you profess to believe that. And in believing that, you receive great blessings. Now what's going on that you said you have to somehow add to that or follow that up by keeping the law in order to be fully saved? And he asked them one question to make them realize the folly of what they were believing. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? All right, did you receive the Holy Spirit by being circumcised and putting yourself under the law of Moses and trying to follow that law? Is that where you received the Spirit? They would have to say no. Paul came to us. We were blind, lost heathen. He proclaimed to us Jesus Christ and him crucified, that he died for our sins and rose again. He called us to believe in that. We believed, and then we received the Spirit upon our faith. So it was by the hearing of faith, or in other words, the preaching of the gospel responded to in faith, that brought God's Spirit into our hearts. So why are you going back to the law? In other words, you didn't get the Holy Spirit by your obedience to the law. You got the Holy Spirit by your faith in Christ. As a matter of fact, your faith in Christ shows that you had received the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see in a moment. Look with me at Ephesians now, chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Paul says to the Ephesians as Christians, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Right? We're to the praise of the glory of Christ as believers in Him. And then He says this, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Well, what's that? The gospel of your salvation. You heard the good news of salvation, that God has fully provided for us forgiveness and eternal life through the person and work of His Son. And when you believe in Him, you receive that salvation. The moment you believe. Notice, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Right? You were marked as God's and made His permanently, even until the day of redemption. So, what's He telling them here? You heard the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and salvation in Him. You believed and were sealed with that Holy Spirit. Notice, when Paul came into Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, he met with some disciples. These were professed believers. And upon examining them a little bit, he found out they were disciples of John the Baptist, and that they hadn't heard the whole story of what had transpired since that time. You know, how that John said he baptized with water, but that there was one coming after him who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, and that they should believe on him, Jesus Christ. They hadn't heard all of that. And so as he sees them and finds their disciples, he asks them a question in verse 2. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Or the way the tense is, have you received the Holy Ghost having believed? In other words, if you have believed, you should have the Holy Spirit. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We have not heard the full message. We have not heard all that Christ accomplished and the fruit of His work, which was the sending of the Spirit on Pentecost. So they were in the dark on these things. Paul filled them in on the details, and then they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they received the Holy Spirit. And that was manifested by tongues and prophesying, which did occur in those days. And so, here's the question. If you say you believe, have you received the Holy Ghost? Well, we didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. Well, then what have you believed? And then he found out they didn't have the full information of the gospel. He gave them that. And believing that, they received the Spirit and were baptized in water upon their profession of faith. Now, here's the question. Which comes first, believing or receiving the Holy Spirit? I think the Bible would clearly indicate that receiving the Holy Spirit comes first, and then believing, obedience, follows. Because we cannot obey, we cannot pray for the Lord to save us without the Holy Ghost. And let's look at John 1, because I think this would bear it out. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Talks about how Jesus came unto His own in verse 11. His own, and His own received Him not. He was rejected by the great majority of His own people. But not all. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Alright. They received Him, and in receiving Him, they became sons of God through Him. And how did they do this? By believing on His name. And then the next verse says this, which were born. In other words, they were born, and the fruit of their being born was their believing on Him, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born of the Spirit of God, and the first fruit of this regeneration or new birth, this new life that was instilled in them was faith. And from that faith flows repentance and obedience, as we'll see here in a moment also. Why do I say this? Well, let's look in Acts again. Acts chapter 11 and verse 24. It's talking about Barnabas, who went up to Antioch, where God was doing a mighty work, where a church had formed, and he went there to encourage them and to witness what God was doing and help with the work. And it says in verse 24, "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith." Full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. In other words, we have to be full of the Holy Ghost to be full of faith. And why do I say that? Because in Galatians 5, we find that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. See, faith is a grace. You and I cannot produce grace. That is something God has to put in us and give us. It's something that is not born of our nature. It's born of God. It comes from heaven, not from our own doing. And so in Galatians 5, verse 22, remember what the great commandment was? To believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another as God gave His commandment. Where does that come from? From us? Can I do that in my own ability or power? No. I'm not born of the will of the flesh or the will of man. It says it's a fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. In other words, this comes from the Spirit. There's a saying in theology, when it comes to the order of salvation, how God brings about a conversion in a heart, that there's a logical order, but not a chronological order. God puts His Spirit in us and regenerates us, and immediately, He does it in association with the preaching of the gospel, and He does it at the point when that person is brought to Christ, when he believes. In other words, he'll be hearing the gospel, God will put His Spirit in him and create faith in him so that he can believe the gospel and be saved. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So, logically, we receive the Spirit first, and that leads to faith and repentance and obedience. But chronologically, it's simultaneous. You can't walk around regenerated and not believing. At the moment of regeneration, that new life evidences itself in faith and repentance, in coming to Christ. Notice again in Acts chapter 7 and verse 5. Just the relationship there is between the Holy Spirit and faith. Talks about Stephen, the first martyr, who was a deacon himself. I want chapter 6, verse 5. It says there, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude," and that was that they should choose men who were qualified to serve the tables of the widows. And everyone agreed to this, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. How could he be full of faith? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost. Like it said of Barnabas, he was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And again, the two are interrelated because they can never be found apart from one another or be separated. And so, God gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. Those who obey Him believe on Jesus Christ. And they believe on Jesus Christ by the working of His Spirit in their hearts, because faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let's look at another place. Hebrews chapter 5. Jesus Christ was a man, and do you know he lived by faith? Yes, as a man he exercised faith. It says he trusted in the Lord. And notice what else he learned. Though he were a son, in verse 8, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now how did he have to learn obedience? He knew everything. He's God. He learned it by experience. And it was a hard experience. His obedience entailed great suffering. And yet he never deviated from that obedience to avoid the suffering. And so he learned what it is to obey under the most difficult of circumstances. And it says, being made perfect, this fitted or qualified him to be our Savior. He had to live in this world as we do and experience the things we experience in order to be qualified for that office. And so being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to who? Unto all them that obey him. He doesn't save impenitent, unbelieving, disobedient people. He saves those who obey him. All of them who obey him. All who have his Spirit. As we said before, if you have not his Spirit, you're none of his. And if you have his Spirit, you will manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Which is what? Faith, love, obedience, and things of that nature. And so, he's the author of eternal salvation of all that obey him. Obey him how? Well, remember what we said? By believing the gospel. Romans chapter 1, Romans begins and ends with this thought. Paul said he's an apostle and that he preached the gospel around the world with one end in view, to bring people to this very thing, which is the proper fruit of the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. In other words, that men of all nations might be brought to obedience to the Christian faith for the sake of Christ and his glory. And he ends it the same way in chapter 16. Verse 25 and 26, he talks about his ministry of preaching. And he says this, now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and there it is, the good news of Christ, how he died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and how he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, that's the true preaching of the gospel, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Why? What was all this meant to accomplish or bring about? Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To bring people to acknowledge their sin and turn from it and come to God and recognize that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, the Son of God and the Messiah and Savior of the world, and to submit to him and put their trust in him and commit themselves to a life of obeying and serving him. That's the purpose of the gospel. That's what it is intended to accomplish in those that God has purposed to save. It's an amazing thing. The thing that God looks for from us is faith in his Son. That is the obedience that he requires and which brings with it the Spirit. Not to do that is disobedience. Let's look back in Romans chapter 10. Keep your finger in Romans 10. I should look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Remember we talked about Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Well, the apostles laid their hands on these seven men, and they went about their work. In verse 7, it says this, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests, many priests, Jewish priests, were obedient to the faith. Obedient to the faith. Imagine that. They had persecuted it and opposed it and contradicted it all through the life and ministry of Christ. Now they're being brought in subjection to it, to submit to Christ and believe His claims and His gospel and become His devoted followers. They became obedient to the faith. And not to do that, again, is Romans 10, verse... it's talking about believing. And how you can't call on someone you haven't believed in. And how you can't believe in someone you haven't heard of. You can't hear of him without a preacher. And so he talks about the need for preaching the gospel so that men may be brought to faith. But verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Not all who have heard have believed. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now, those who haven't believed have disobeyed. They've failed to obey the gospel. So then, faith cometh how? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. When we hear the gospel and we believe and submit to it and receive Christ, we have obeyed. That's the obedience that God looks for. Notice another place, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. What happens if we refuse this obedience to the gospel? It means certain judgment. It says that Jesus is coming again as the judge of all men. In verse 8 it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the obedience we're talking about. Obedience to the gospel. What obedience does the gospel require? Faith in Christ and His work. That's the obedience that God looks for from us, and that brings His Spirit, and that leads to a life of obedience. See, the principle of faith is a principle of obedience. Before we're saved, we're children of disobedience. When we become believers, we become obedient children. Obedient children, which is what God looks for from us. Notice how the gospel works in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. He's talking to the scattered believers throughout Asia Minor. And in verse 2 he says, they are elect according to the foreknowledge or foreordination of God the Father. And how had they become Christians? Through sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit had done a work in their hearts, regenerating them and drawing them. And what did that result in? Unto obedience. And what did that obedience bring? And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, notice, first election in eternity, then in time and the experience in our lives, those who are elect, God's Spirit sanctifies them. He regenerates them. He calls them. He draws them. He quickens them. All these words are used in the Bible. What does that mean? You know, we talk about that God's grace is irresistible. Those who God has purposed to save, He gives His Spirit to them, and that they will believe because He causes them to believe. And when they believe, then they are saved. And so what he's saying is the obedience here is faith, because faith is what results in cleansing, you know, forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. Now, why do I say that? Well, let's go down further in Peter. How does he bring this about? In verse 14, he calls them obedient children, as I said earlier. But in verse, what I want to look in at is verse 21. Speaking of Jesus again, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory. All right, it's by Jesus that we can believe in God. Why? Because He sends His Spirit to us. And His Spirit works in us faith. And gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, The truth? What truth? We'll see in a minute. You have obeyed the truth how? Through the Spirit. It's by the Spirit that you believe in Christ, which is to obey the truth. And what did that result in? Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And there's the two commands. Believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Love one another as He gave His commandment. And all this by the Spirit. And so He says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now notice how He says it. Being born again. The way that the Spirit produced faith in you and love for the brethren is you were born again, regenerated. That's why John said, those who believe on His name were born of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Notice, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This rebirth always comes in association with the Gospel. See, the Gospel is the instrument of regeneration. That's what God uses. And the Spirit is the agent of regeneration. He's the one who actually regenerates us under and through the preaching of the Gospel. And so He says, you've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. What Word of God? Well, let's see what He says. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. We're not born of the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's no good. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. What Word is He referring to? And this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. So we hear the Gospel, and it brings two responses. Obedience, we believe it. Disobedience, we do not believe it. And that determines our eternal destiny. And so again, you know, He said, go into all the world, preach the Gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Well, am I saying there's nothing we can do? We can't believe, we can't pray without the Spirit? It's true. So what can we do? We can bring ourselves to where the Gospel is preached, which is what God uses to give His Spirit to us, to regenerate us, and to bring us to Christ. And we can also pray. Lord, please do this work in my life. Give me Your Spirit that I might believe on Your Son and be saved. And again, we're putting ourselves where God says we need to be if we're going to be saved. Hearing the Gospel and receiving His Spirit. And then showing it by a life of obedience. I'm going to close with Romans chapter 6. Here's how we can ask ourselves. The reason we need to be saved is we're sinners. That's clear. And sinners live lives of sin. Being saved is to be saved from sin, not only from its penalty, but also from its power. If I'm saved, I'm forgiven my sins, and I live a new life now, a life of holiness. Not a life free from sin. I'm not sinless, but I do sin less, if you know what I'm saying. So what's he say in Romans 5? Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. If God's done a work of grace in your life, if you've been saved by His grace through His Son, sin no longer rules your life. You've been set free. And then he says it this way, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Two masters, sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which brings righteousness. What obedience? Well, let's see what he says. But God be thanked. Why does he thank God whenever someone is saved? Because God did that. He gets the credit for it. He gets the glory for it. It's not something we did. God did it. And so, he's to be thanked. God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. That's true of every one of us. Slaves of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart, with your very heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You believe the Gospel from your heart. You know, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if you have come to Christ, and trusted in Him and been saved, delivered from your sins by that glorious message of salvation. Verse 18 says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You now, where before you were slaves of sin, you were slaves of righteousness. Where before you disobeyed God in unbelief, you now obey Him and live a life of faith. Isn't that our life now? A life of obedience? How do we do that? The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what it is to obey and to receive the Spirit and to be a child of God and to be living in His will by the Spirit is enabling. And may God help us all to have that by His grace and for His glory. We'll close in prayer.